Hi.
Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy. When a friend signed Cranston Johnson up to be a featured extra on The Fifth Quarter starring Andy McDowell and Aidan Quinn, he was mad. However, that was an experience that forever changed his life. In 2011, he enrolled as a student at the Actors Group studio, and his breakthrough role was as a series regular on Happen Leonard. More recently, he has been on such series as P-Valley and Filthy Rich, as well as the films The 24th, Women is Losers, and Son. So enjoy my conversation with Cranston Johnson. I am talking today with Cranston Johnson, who is living out in LA, but was here at the Actors Group as a student. And if I'm correct, from what I gathered, you started here in 2011. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. April of 2011 was my first class. Yes.
Right. And from what I read on your IMDb page, you kind of got into acting because you were a football player and you were a featured.
Absolutely.
Right. And you were a featured extra on The Fifth Quarter.
Yes, right. I was. I kind of got signed up for a job that I had no interest in being a featured extra because I really didn't know about the film industry in North Carolina at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Someone signed me up because they knew that I had played football at Western Carolina University and the film was based around football. And so, yeah, they signed me up and I had words with that person who signed me up because, like I said, I wasn't really interested in acting at that time. I had no idea that that was something that was obtainable or something that I could even try and do at that time. But long story short, I went out, did the job, had an amazing time, and these wheels just started turning in my head about how can I follow up and try to do this again and kind of, you know, take it to the next level and maybe potentially even have speaking lines and things of that nature. The extra thing was fun, but I'm not going to lie. I started itching really quickly to try to do more because I was very impressed and overwhelmed by the whole situation. But I was thinking, like, how can I get back and do this? And like I said, take this to the next level. Fortunately, I made a good connection with some of the extras casting people.
Yeah.
And they invited me to a workshop several months later, and that's kind of where the whole journey started. Thankful that I took that job and
right.
Didn't let that person, because we argued about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, so.
I eventually felt bad, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. I'll go, but this is the last time. Don't sign me up for anything else like this. So,
and now, of course, you're forever in that person's debt, right?
Absolutely. I owe them a lot.
Right. Because, of course, you know, since then you've been on Atlanta. Then you got a kind of a big break with Happen Leonard. And you've been on Woo Assassins and The Fix. And I know you've been on a ton of other stuff as well. But one of the questions that, because, you know, we started, first of all, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You
know, I have a special place for Actors Group in my heart. So I'm thankful to share whatever knowledge I have to hopefully inspire my peers. And I miss you guys a lot. So I'm so glad we're getting to do this.
Yeah, this is fun. So my question to you was, so you went from, you know, kind of being a football player and focusing kind of on the sports aspect. Mm-hmm. And then you had the acting bug kind of bite you fairly strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that there are skills that you had kind of acquired as an athlete that you were able then to use in your acting?
Absolutely, 100%. Playing football, especially the position that I played a defensive back, and what our coaches always preached to us was to have a short memory. For example, if you give up a big touchdown, if you have a terrible play, one play, you have to forget that and you have to move on to the next play because the next play you may get an interception, the next play you may have a huge tackle to cause a fumble. Whatever, you can't, you have to have amnesia is what they used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that has definitely helped me a lot as far as the audition process because we have to have very thick skin and you have to put your all into this audition. And at the same time, as soon as you leave that room, you have to walk away and be ready for the next play. You can't, whether you had a bad audition, whether you had a great audition, you have to keep it all in balance and focused on the next play in essence. So that's been a tremendous help for me. Also, just the discipline and the work ethic that collegiate athletes or athletes on, you know, high levels of whatever they're playing, whether it's professional, collegiate, high school, you have to put a tremendous time, tremendous amount of time and effort into your skill, into your craft, if you want to be the best that you can be. And those things have translated as well, because I always want to show up and be the best Cranston that I can be.
Right.
And that was instilled at me at an early age when I began athletics. And also, even to the essence of, I think it's just made me a great team player. And a lot of the times when we're starting out in this industry, you're brought on in these five and under roles, if that's what you initially started out with, or even if you start out as an extra, you're a team player. It's not about you at all. You're making somebody else look good. You're brought in to be a filler, and you have to accept that role and understand it. And that's another kind of philosophy that I learned through sports. So being an athlete, I think, has been a tremendous asset for me with acting.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I was interested in the, I hadn't anticipated the audition process and the short memory, but you're right. It's like, you know, you get these auditions because you're going to hear no, or at least not hear anything a lot more than you hear yes, you know, at least to begin with. Yeah. So, so that, you know, that makes perfect sense. One of the things too, that I've heard you say too, or that I read, was that it was during your time at Actors Group that you saw kind of your skills as an actor kind of blossom.
Yeah.
And I was interested in hearing kind of exactly what were some of the things that you would, you know, that you were doing in class or the exercises. What were some of the things that you saw were helpful?
Okay. So first and foremost, joining Actors Group, which was Carolina Actors Group when I first joined, Burgess is this phenomenal actor and teacher.
Yeah.
And some of the most important things that I learned early on were honesty and just being truthful and just understanding who you are and being comfortable with who you are, not trying to put on, not trying to overperform, not trying to act in essence. It's just be yourself, be natural to what it is, the message that you're trying to convey through whatever the dialogue is.
Mm-hmm.
So just being comfortable in myself, I think, was the first step, and not being nervous and not feeling like, oh my God, everybody's watching me. Just, you know, just taking the ownership and being comfort. That was one of the first things that really helped me a lot. Second was just analysis of the script and of the scene. We really learned how to break things down and look at it from different perspectives, turn the scene, upside down, something to that nature of those words, but just looking at it from through a different lens, not looking at it through the lens that seems like the obvious choice when you first read it. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, trying to find little nuggets and making discoveries in it. So that was, really helpful, because I feel like when you do those things, it really separates you from other people who are just, you know, picking the obvious choices right away. And that's what they're kind of trying to do.
Right.
Also, having no expectations, that was huge. Not knowing how, like, okay, this scene, I have to come home and break up with my girlfriend. I know how this is going to go. You know, just kind of being open to whatever is going to happen and reacting off of what you're getting. So those things were very imperative, learning those things from his class. I used to be scared to death of having to improv before I came to Actors Group. But that's something now that I embrace that. I want to do that. Those are like the funnest moments when you just get to improv and like go off your head and like, you know. So all those things prior to the class, I was not very good at, and I had no idea what I was really doing, because I think I was attempting to act maybe a year before I found the class.
Uh-huh.
And I say attempting to act because that's exactly what it was. I went to a few auditions and I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm so thankful that I found the class because, yeah, I saw all these skill sets just blossom. I learned a lot about myself. I learned things that I was good at that I didn't even have to really try hard to be.
Mm-hmm.
Burgess used to always laugh at me about being a triple A, and we call that an angry African American.
Yeah.
Because some people that know me, I kind of have this natural scowl sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So people that may not know me personally, they may think that I'm a mean guy or just kind of I have an imposing presence, but couldn't be further than the truth from that.
Right.
So whenever a scene called for potential, you know, for someone to maybe be angry or upset,
right,
I would put so much on that. He was like, you look way too mad. He's like, you already look a little intimidating, so tone that down. So just those little observations about yourself and learning those things,
yeah,
have proved to be, you know, just very important moving along through my career, just making those discoveries about yourself and just learning about experimenting with the craft. And we do that on a daily basis in class. So,
right.
You know, it's
right.
Very valuable to me.
So, and were there things that, you know, like you just mentioned, kind of the emotion, if it required you to be angry, that was one that was easier for you simply because of
right.
the way that, you know, you did. Because I will say, you can be a little hard to read, and not it's not mm-hmm. a bad thing. It's just, you know, okay, is he mad? But like you say, it yeah. is, you know, it's like once we start talking to you, it's you know, and I say this because I've had the same thing said to me, but that's okay.
So you understand exactly.
Oh, I do. Okay. It's like, I've had people say, gosh, I thought you were really scary. It's like, what are you talking about?
Right. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so what were some of the things that did not come as easily, and how were you able to get over those difficulties, obstacles?
Some of the things that I think still are difficult, vulnerability.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just think that physically, I'm not a huge guy, but I'm not a small guy at the same time. So
right.
I think just naturally, what my physical makeup is, sometimes it's harder to play vulnerable characters. I'm not going to say it's harder to play. I think I do. I think I'm capable of it, but I just don't know how they're perceived from others. I tend to be cast for law enforcement.
Yeah.
Often I tend to be cast, or I get traction on military, of course, athletic things. You know, so those things don't usually speak to vulnerability, at least not on the surface.
Right, right.
And as an actor, we want to be able to say that we can play anything.
Right.
And, you know, it is very possible, but there's also like a belief that the audience has to have where they think that this is honest and this is authentic to a character. So those are things that I try to work on, just, you know, finding, just making sure that if I am playing something vulnerable, that it's really coming from somewhere personal and truthful. That way that people will focus on that. If I'm really, really, if I really did my work well, I think that the physical aspect of me can be kind of overshadowed. Also, sometimes just like very technical dialogue. For example, if I'm reading for like a computer analyst, or something like that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just this dialogue that is written well, but it, you know, when you get a scene and you can kind of like, you may read over it and you can memorize it really quickly because all the words just kind of fall in line and the writing is just, it makes perfect sense to you and you really connect to it right away. So, you know, sometimes you may get something that's super technical and it doesn't. And those things, you know, you have to really work hard on to connect to those things and make those things personal to you as well.
Right.
So those are things that I feel like they're ripe for struggling if you don't come in prepared for them.
Right.
I have a big issue with auditions that are very, very big and you don't have the required material, if I can say that, for lack of better words, in the audition room that you would on a set to where it would feel much more natural.
Oh,
for example, I threw an audition where I found my wife who was in, you know, in dire needs, on the brink of death. And, you know, of course I'm panicked. I'm frightened. I'm shocked and all of these things. And it would help so much if you had a body language.
Right.
It was lifeless. It could help you.
Yeah.
They could help you, really make this feel
yeah.
honest and truthful. So sometimes when I get auditions like that, I'm like, oh man, like why do they make me audition or make us audition these type of scenes when, you know, but I guess they're thinking like, if you can pull this off in the audition with limited resources, you're going to be amazing on set. So
right.
I guess we just have to look at it from that angle and try to connect to as many things as we can make real. But those things I struggle with, and it's an ongoing study to try to make those things feel more natural and comfortable and honest.
So are you, the audition that you were just talking about, was that an in-person one or was it a self-tape?
It was an in-person one. And had it been a self-tape, then, of course, I could doctor up my surroundings. I can, you know, we can fix the camera,
right,
put it on the floor, kind of have somebody down on the floor that I'm tending to that's out of the frame. So, of course, at home, those auditions are a little more comfortable because you can, like I said, you can make this user-friendly to your benefit. But when it's in a room, it's a little more difficult, and you do have to take ownership to kind of set up the room to the best of your ability without asking too much, because, mm-hmm, you know, I did ask the question, you know, how can we do this to really make this kind of feel like more of the world that it's going to be shot in? And so I asked her to come closer to me, and she was sitting in her chair, and that did help because I could almost reach out and touch her.
Right.
And 3 years ago, maybe even a year or two ago, I would have been shy to do those things. And I think that that's something that I've been empowered through class, but that I'm recently just really starting to take ownership with, is ask for the things that I need and not be ashamed and not be afraid to ask them, because at the end of the day, it's our audition. It's just like I heard you talking to Jim in his podcast about fighting for your audition.
Right.
And that's speaking exactly to what he's saying. You may only get one shot at this. Set yourself up for success.
Right.
You know, and they may say no. If
right.
they do, they do. But, you know, try to make yourself as comfortable as possible without being too extreme with
right.
it.
I don't know if I would have the courage, you know?
To, right.
Especially, you know, especially when you're in with all these people and you think, oh, there's that, I don't know, there's that, you know, nervous.
You know what? I felt that way for a long time, Danielle, and I just came to the realization that I actually spoke with some casting people at like a premiere party, and they were really nice, and it was an opportunity for me to kind of pick their brains a little bit on a few things, like what do you guys not like and what do you do like?
Yeah.
And some of it was just kind of casual conversation, but some of it was really like, I want to know this, you know?
Right. Yeah, of course.
This is beneficial. This is helpful. But one of the main things that I kind of gathered from what they were saying, they were like, listen, Cranston, we want you to win.
Right.
We are pulling for you.
Yeah.
Everybody that we bring into this room, we are rooting for. We have nothing against you. We want this to be the best experience ever. And that just kind of resonated with me that they do. So they're not going to be rude to you. They're not going to deny you anything that is possible that they can do to help you out.
Right.
So, we kind of have to look at it through that lens and like really take ownership, like I said, and that courage will come. You just have to tell yourself, you know, this next one I go in, maybe take baby steps. This next one I go in, I'm gonna just ask them, can I sit down instead of standing up? You know, because I think this scene feels better sitting down. But you know, that's a small step. And then the next one, you may ask them, you know, can you come closer, or all of these things, and you'll get there. Because trust me, I used to be in the same place, and now I feel comfortable with kind of making requests and just trying to be comfortable in there. So.
And I think it stems, too, because, you know, here, where we are here, it's kind of more of the Atlanta market where it's a lot more self-tape.
Right.
I love auditions. I really do. It's like I
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, you know, like I said in the podcast, the last one, it's like it's an opportunity to play, but it's also, you know, it's... I feel I've gotten ownership of the different places where I tape my auditions.
Uh-huh.
So I think for me, it'll come too when I do, you know, when I do more in-person auditions.
Well, I love the fact that you love auditioning, because I think I'm hitting this with my love, and I wouldn't say hate. Hate's a strong word, but I'm you know, certain times I'm feeling really, really good and I'm excited and I'm like, oh man, yes, I'm ready to go in here and really do this and, like, you know, present this art. And then other times I really am like, why do I put myself through this? Like, I'm so nervous.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not a nervousness like fear. It's more of a nervousness of, like, you feel like there are certain expectations, which are traps, like Burgess says.
Yeah.
they're trapped because you feel like, okay, these people like me. This is a callback. The director's going to be in here. You start saying all of that stuff in your head, and it's a trap, you know? So I struggle with that. That's something that I may go on a run of 3, 4, 5 auditions in a row where I feel no nerves at all.
Yeah.
And then I may have another one where I'll go in and there'll be nerves. So I'm yet to identify what those nerves are. Maybe it's, like we said, it's the dialogue, or maybe it's the way the audition is set up. Maybe it's something that I don't feel is necessarily in my wheelhouse, or, you know, maybe it's just mental. Like, it's just getting in my head for, because I know the stakes, and I'm letting the stakes get to me, which, you know, there are no such thing as, I just feel like all of that stuff, we just need to focus on the work, first and foremost, and let everything else take care of itself. But Danielle, I'm a great person to preach these philosophies, but I don't always follow. I'll be the first to say that. I could write a book, like, on the stuff that I've heard and I've been taught and that I practice.
Yeah.
But ask me if I'm doing these things 99 to 100% of the time, and I'll be the first to tell you no.
Yeah.
You know, it's a beautiful struggle that we go through. So.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's, you know, that whole ownership and the truth and the authentic, all of that. You know, I've been kind of, I've become a podcast junkie. You know, I'm kind of like listening to as many different ones as I can. And, you know, they just, to what you're saying, it's, you know, taking ownership, being honest, being truthful, all of that good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one thing to know it and embrace it, and then another thing to actually consistently put it into practice, you know?
Absolutely. Because speaking of what you were saying, I was listening to the Actors Roundtable the other day, and Vito Mortensen and Mahershala Ali were on there, and they were just talking about the insecurities that just about every actor has, whether you're A-list, whether you're Z-list, whatever it is, we all have these insecurities. And I think that I'm definitely insecure, regardless of where I'm at. And, you know, I feel that I do have talent, but at the same time, like, I think that's where the nerves come from, because it's just this insecurity that I want people to like me and I want this to go well.
Yeah.
And those are the things that we have to try and try to focus on alleviating when we're doing our work. Unless you're doing a scene where they call for those, it's perfect. You can use those things. But, you know, if it's something that's a powerful role where you need to be in charge and stuff, it's really tough sometimes when you're dealing with these insecurities and all of these things. So.
Yeah. And it's funny because those two things that you've just mentioned, like the one, you know, as far as my nerves and, you know, being kind of anxious and using that, you know, in the craft, that was like, I think the very first lesson I learned, because, you know, we do the Doran activity and, you know, and I was doing my activity and it was the first thing I was doing in class. And I was so, so incredibly nervous. And so I came up with an activity where that would make sense for me to be nervous. Cause I was like, I'm not going to be, you know, I was like, I'm not going to be able to stop myself being nervous. I don't know these people. I've never been in an acting class like this. You know,
that's so smart. That's so smart. Using what's going on around you to your benefit. That is something valuable that I learned through our class. And obviously you have as well.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of, you know, nicely kind of leads us into some of these questions. You know, I had told you that I had asked some of our friends here at Actors Group. And so I have one of the questions that somebody was asking was, what advice would you give a young actor, and especially a young actor of color? You know, what advice would you give them starting out?
Okay. this is a great question. The advice that I would give not only to an actor of color, but to any actor would be to first and foremost, find a great class in your area that you can afford and that you can attend regularly and that you can get really good food from. Food by, I mean, just like you can get good stuff that you can carry with you throughout your journey that's going to help you grow as a person and as an actor. So my advice is to anyone starting out is to find a class first that you can learn about yourself, learn about the craft, and focus on the business secondary. So,
because it's
like, I've given some people that advice, because some people will reach out to me and they'll ask that question pretty much.
Yeah.
and I tell them that, it's like they don't respond back. A lot of people do not want to hear that.
Yeah.
They do not want to hear that. I don't know if they're, because there's no magic to this. Like,
I agree. So another question too that came up from one of our friends was, so what is the market like for an African American male actor? And I think too, some of the questions that I got were, have you, and this, I think they're related. Do you find yourself being stereotyped, typecast because of your race, or, cause I know, you know, like you said, because of your physical build and your uh-huh. look, you get a lot uh-huh. of military and kind of law enforcement.
As far as the typecast because of color, I have no idea or information on that.
True.
I do know once I booked the Detective Hanson role, and just after that kind of ended, a ton of detective roles came through. I know that.
Yeah.
I know I was getting a bunch of reads to like Detective Jackson, Detective March, and Detective Logan. And I'm like, okay. I'm good at the detective thing. And me, at the point that I am, I'm so thankful to get auditions.
Right.
I'm thankful to read.
Right.
I'm not looking at it and being discouraged or disappointed. You know,
right.
I tackle it, but I don't think that has bothered me as much as some other people may be able to comment on if
yeah.
you've been typecast to play certain types of roles. Because
yeah.
at the end of the day, to me, a detective, law enforcement, those are honorable positions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could be different if, you know, a drug addict they wanted
right.
you to play every time
right.
or, you know, a gangbanger every time or something like that, you know.
Right.
Which those roles would be fun to me, but I could see how if you're getting offered those on a consistent basis, that would kind of bother me mentally and just kind of like feed into insecurities probably,
right.
With comfort level. So.
So do you feel that the market now for, actors of color is a lot more open? Cause I want to say yes, but you know, I'm a white woman. So what, what do I know really? You know,
you are.
Yes, I am. And I'm not from around here.
Well, to answer that question, I, from my experience, from my personal experience, being in the industry now 10 years, a little under 10 years, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that I've seen a big difference in the amount of things that I'm auditioning for and also the things that I'm seeing on television, the things that I'm seeing come to theater.
Yeah.
And I think that I would probably say that it's probably one of the best times to be an actor of color ever
yeah.
in this industry. Someone maybe argue with me on that, but I think it probably is. And I say that because I feel like there are a lot more black voices behind the camera or,
yeah.
or people of color voices behind the camera. People directing, people writing, people show running, people producing, not just people acting. So naturally, if you have people of color in more positions behind the camera and in the studios, they're going to bring their narratives to the forefront, which require people of color portraying the roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's very important because we have such a diverse culture. I don't think it should be one-sided where a certain culture is dominating the narrative and you're only seeing movies about Native American people, you're only seeing movies about black people, you're only seeing movies about, you know, Caucasian people. I think there should be a nice pot of gumbo where we all have these stories being told. And
yeah.
I think it's leaning more towards that. I think it's still top heavy.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's a lot more promising than it was, especially go back to the, you know, 80s, 90s, 70s,
yeah.
60s. Yeah, I think it's been a ton of progress. And I think that it will continue to be that way because, you know, there's always this thinking that, you know, certain people aren't marketable, which I never bought that.
Yeah.
Because, number one, I love music. And for them to say actors of color aren't marketable in leading roles made no sense to me when musicians of color sell gazillion records overseas and all over the world.
Right.
So you mean to tell me that those people would listen to people of color, but they won't watch them? That
yeah.
that makes no sense to me.
Right.
So I think that I'm excited about the future, and I'm just happy to be doing what I'm doing at this point because I think it is one of the best times to be doing it. And I think it's only going to get better with streaming and everything. There's so much content out there now. So many different shows and movies being made and good stuff, really, yeah. really good stuff.
So I have to ask, the Black Panther uh-huh. movie, to me that feels like that was kind of a game changer. It opened doors and conversations in a way that other projects may not have.
I agree, because I don't know the numbers on what it grossed, but I know it made a lot of money domestically and internationally, and I think it broke a lot of records.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did it break all those records, it was a really, really good movie. It
right.
had some phenomenal acting.
Right.
Chad Boseman, Daniel Kaluuya, Michael B. Jordan, you know.
Yeah.
So many other actors and actresses in that film, people who inspire me. It was just like, you know, Ryan Coogler, who directed, is just such an amazing ensemble cast. And, you know, I didn't grow up in the comic book world or the
yeah.
Marvel Universe or DC Comics or any of that. So I don't know a lot of those storylines, but that
yeah.
was a movie that almost didn't even feel like a superhero movie. It was just a great story.
Right.
And it's also empowering.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I felt.
Man, it was just
yeah.
very empowering and liberating, man. It was
yeah.
it was great. You know, yeah, the success of it financially and everything, I think it is a game changer, because I think that a lot of people are you know, it trumped that theory that, you know, this can't be marketable
right.
globally.
Right.
It can't be. It was. So
yeah.
what's going to be the excuse now?
Right.
You know,
well,
so.
And what I, because I was listening to the actors roundtable,
mm-hmm.
and it had Chad Bond there, and he was saying how important this movie was, because it gave them an opportunity to tell a history, even though it was fake.
Right, right.
But to tell I don't know if you've seen that roundtable with him, but to tell a history that was, that talked about your ancestors, that talked about a time before, you know? And to me, that was, I mean, it was moving. This was for him, he was saying this was so empowering because it was a chance for them to explore ancestral stories.
Absolutely. That is so powerful, that statement, because for me growing up, whether it's in school or whether it's in film, a lot of Black history, okay, a lot of Black history that you see depicted through film, through TV, told in history books, is about slavery,
yeah.
number one.
Yeah.
Well, and second, the Civil Rights era.
Right. Right.
You know,
it is.
Those are the two things that you hear about.
Yeah.
And even though Black Panther was fictional,
yeah.
at the same time, there are hundreds, thousands of stories about kings and queens in Africa
right. Right.
who live these, you know, amazing lifestyles, who influence civilization,
mm-hmm.
all of these things. Egyptian, they're people of color.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
a lot of people don't want to include Egypt and Africa, but they're people of color.
Yeah.
Those are beautiful stories. Those are beautiful things that I wish could be told more about Black history, or, you know,
yeah.
just people of color getting better stories told rather than ones of oppression or them
right.
fight or them fighting to be heard.
Right.
Those are very powerful narratives as well, but, you know, I think Ryan Coogler is looking into doing a story about Mansa Musa.
I was getting ready to say.
Mm-hmm. He's reportedly the richest man that
yeah.
ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Black man. That, like, how's that story never been told?
Right.
So that's the beautiful thing about Black Panther being successful. That's the beautiful
yeah.
thing about so many other films. People are more open to giving people of color chances now
yeah.
because there are amazing stories. There are brilliant
right.
minds out there on both sides,
mm-hmm.
and we all need to be telling our stories.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed that those stories are coming, which I think that they are, because
yeah.
people are getting a lot more creative control and power to do what they want to do, and I love that.
Right.
I love that.
Well, and I think we're richer for it. You know, as human beings, I think I do too. You know. Like, so being, you talked about being marketable, and that
mm-hmm.
idea that you are, you know, that's ridiculous that you're not, you know, you might not be marketable for whatever reason. What advice would you give, for example, a black male actor? How can they make themselves more marketable?
Well, what it's kind of like the question earlier with the advice.
Yeah.
Not only would I give this advice to, you know, because I'm not necessarily sure it's going to work solely for a black
right.
actor.
Right.
I just think that this is just my opinion on how to make yourself more marketable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that focusing on the work first and foremost
yeah.
is how you make yourself marketable. Because people that are marketable, most of them have one thing in common. They're damn good at what they do.
Yeah.
You know, rarely yes. do you hear about somebody, an athlete being marketable who is not a good athlete, or hear about an actor being marketable that's not a good actor, that's not putting in quality work that people are talking about and that people are itching to work with these people. So first and foremost, it goes back to learn the craft, be a student of the craft
yeah.
and focus your energy on those things, and the rest usually will fall in place. There are three things that I try to focus on having working in my favor and having these three things in perfect harmony as far as my career is concerned. Number one is the talent. And basically that the talent, you know, is in relationship to what we were just saying, focusing on the craft, being a student, really putting in the effort and the work to be the best that you can be. The next thing, really being persistent, not giving up, not letting going to 25 auditions in a row and not hearing anything back discourage you.
Right.
Really show up every day and show out. That's mm-hmm. what you have to do. Anytime you get an opportunity to act, show up. Be persistent. Don't give up. You have to stay persistent and you have to work your butt off every day.
Yeah.
So that talent added along with that persistence, and this is the final thing, being a good people person,
yeah.
someone that people like, someone that people want to be around.
I was so hoping you were going to say that.
People. Huh?
I was so hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
because I did the Happen Leonard job, I worked on that 2 seasons, and I hit it off with a lot of people. I developed a lot of good relationships with different people, showrunners, directors, producers, everything. And had I not showed up to work every day and been prepared and been a joy to work with. Look at me toot my own horn. Being a joy to work with.
Yeah, but you are. You are. I mean, right. I'm backing you up. You can
well,
say
thank
that.
You. But the fact that I showed up and I am a team player and I don't complain, I feel like I have those three things working in harmony, and I feel like that's what's propelled me to where I'm at, and I knock on wood that it'll propel me further, because mm-hmm. that's just who I am. It's not, none of that stuff's fake to me. I'm a very genuine person, and I think people see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you has to be that trinity working. So that's kind of the advice that I would give to not only a young black male to be more marketable, but any artist.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you have those things that like you're almost undeniable to me. Hopefully that answered it.
Oh, I think that's a perfect way to end, because I think you're right. Those are three things that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Cranston, thank you.
Thank you. It's been so much fun. I'm just thankful to be a part of this family.
That's it for today's edition of Actors Group Conversations on Craft. This is your host, Danielle Tame, and I really hope that you enjoyed today's conversation. Feel free to rate the podcast on iTunes. You can leave a review, or you can leave me a comment or a question on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook page. Until next time.